Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable panel for this Thursday morning. It is the 14th of July. Very nice to have you with us. Cheers to all. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. We do want to... What's wrong?
I'm looking for my device.
Oh, there it is.
No, there it isn't. Somebody from the front will bring my device.
Of course. Yes. They'll be taken up. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Joining us for the discussion. hey, Alan.
Hey, what?
That's a
lovely... Put on your sunglasses out there in radio land.
It's a lovely sport coat you're wearing.
In 1972, I got this coat.
Yes.
And I put it in the back of the closet where it is.
Gee, why would you do that?
Well, remember Sid, you're not old enough, but there was a guy named Sid on the Milton Berle show.
Sure.
And he would come out
and
he would say, I can get it for you wholesale. And he wore one of these coats, you see? And he set up a little portable table and he
willed you that coat in 1972?
Well, I have that. I've had that coat. Oh, Rex, our errand boy, Rex Smith.
Rex Smith, on the round table. There you go. Very nice. Thank you, Rex Smith. Wow. Very nice. Now can you do something about the coat? Okay.
So
go
it's
ahead.
A coat of many colors after Dolly Parton.
Right.
And I
it's especially nice with the red polka dot tie.
Yes.
I did that on purpose.
Well, it sort of can go with anything.
Yeah.
You know, right? It can go
sure.
with anything because there's so many...
I was thinking that too, Stewie.
My father used to say, when I would come down with something that didn't match when I was a young whippersnapper, would say, "Oh, did you get dressed in the closet this morning?"
Which I do.
And so you sort of, yeah. Lovely. I hope people will go to WAMC.org just to look at. You were worried about the lighting a moment ago. I don't think you have to worry about the lighting in here.
Yeah.
Well, I know. It's nice to be so powerful that you can wear whatever you want.
I know that our Woody Woodworth will come in and get the light on Stu before that guy writes.
That one is out. It's out. Yeah.
And but Stewie doesn't want it because his head is not exactly full of hair.
I don't need the glare
so
on the scalp.
So there's a certain shine on that you might get.
I'm still thinking it's not going to be the only shine in this room this morning.
Right.
All right.
But I did want to compliment Stu Shinsky because your newspaper, of all the newspapers in New York State, won the huge Publishers Association Awards. What do they call that? New York State Publishers?
The New York News Publishers Association. Honors, yes.
And you had how many awards?
18.
18 out of?
23.
No.
Yes.
Nobody else got anything.
Well, there were a few. We're very fortunate.
So more than the New York Times by far, right?
They're not in our circulation category. So it was within our circulation category.
We were
very honored by these folks, and it'll be formally announced next week, yes.
Well, very nice.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you to our staff. I send my thanks to our staff, which is just far smarter than I can ever be.
I've successfully diverted the conversation.
Okay. Well, we'll...
Back to the suit jacket. This is what America needs to worry about right here.
Your wardrobe is just positively boring, Rosemary. Good morning. Welcome
Apparently,
to the program.
I know. Black and white. Wow.
The director of the journalism department at, or the journalism program,
okay.
I should
yes.
say, at the University at Albany, Rosemary Armeo. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. And Stu Shinsky is the Poughkeepsie Journal executive editor, and it's a delight whenever Stu joins us, and we are thrilled to have you here this morning.
Thrilled as well, and I just thankful I'm here for the jacket day.
Yes. a day that'll go down in history. Yes, that's very good. No, seriously. I've worked here for like 22, 23 years.
Yeah.
I've never seen that coat before.
Yeah. Well, what happened is I really did have to dig into the back of the closet.
Well, you didn't have to.
You see, in our house, Roselle gets most of the space. And I think that it is fairly true for all women and men in marriages to know that, you know, the women in the families get most of the space while men are consigned to the dung heap of society. So over the years, I've pushed things further and further and further back. And I never throw anything out, which bothers Roselle. So therefore, when I saw this morning, I said, just the thing. Now, there was a social commentary in there somewhere, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
Is it true in your house too, Joe?
No. We each have our own... areas.
Yeah.
I don't let men keep their clothes in my house.
And here's an example of why.
Dog pigs.
All right, let's get on to the news of the day. Although I could go with this line of questioning all morning, I want to, but all right. Hey, there is going to be a political convention next week. It's going to be in Cleveland, Ohio, and the there still are articles about this, and I just want to talk a little bit about it. There's a front page article in the Washington Post this morning. This is the last stand from the Never Trump movement, and they lay out what might happen. And my question to the panel at large is: does anyone in this room, does anyone of any political acumen say, oh, this could happen?
No.
Well, what could happen?
Stop Trump.
No.
Yeah.
It won't happen, but it'll be a circus.
So what's
I've always had an issue. And the issue is the Republicans really hate Trump. The establishment Republicans really hate Trump. So now we're seeing polls, right, which show that Trump could win. I think Trump could easily win this thing. Not easily, but he could win. And I think anybody, Rosemary, who doesn't think so, is just off the tracks, because the polls are all showing it, and we have no idea what the silent moral majority in this country, who is being appealed to by Trump, is going to do. We just don't know. So this is going to be an unpollable, a difficult election, and the polls we do have are showing it to be a dead heat.
So I do want to, I just, on that note, and I don't want to get off the subject.
So no, one last thing on that, Joe, yes. I'm sorry, is that I know I tend to meander, but I don't understand why the Republicans, if they have a guy who can win, are so dead set against his candidacy. I've never understood what it is about him that they find so threatening.
Well, shall I list the ways in which they find
he doesn't do what they want?
Yeah. He's morally repugnant.
Racist. He's morally repugnant. He's a misogynist. He's setting up the party for failure. He's setting up the party for disintegration in the future. Because who's going to come in? We're running out of white men and women. The future in this country is all about demographic change, and he isn't appealing to any of those demographics. He's a horrible person.
He doesn't do what they want. He cannot be controlled.
So. He can't be controlled. But
well, he doesn't have to
but
be controlled.
For example,
they, what
well,
have they
the party,
stood up for
I think.
Him?
The party I mean, wants to.
They have this great distaste that Alan is talking about. They've given him everything he wants. Did you see the platform they've come out with?
Well, yeah. That's what we want to
Did
talk
you
about.
Did you see
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to talk about that platform.
Okay. So before, just as to Alan's point, because this was just released in the last half hour, which is the New York Times CBS News poll. Hillary Clinton has emerged from the FBI investigation into her email practices as Secretary of State, a wounded candidate, they say, with a large and growing majority of voters saying that she cannot be trusted, according to the poll. It is now in a dead heat as Mrs. Clinton prepares to accept the Democratic Party's nomination of the convention in Philadelphia this month. She will confront an electorate in which 67% of voters say she is not honest and trustworthy. That number is up 5 percentage points conducted last month. Mrs. Clinton's 6 percentage point lead over Donald Trump last month has evaporated. The two candidates are now tied in a general election matchup, the new poll indicates, with each receiving the support of 40% of voters.
Well, it's extraordinary. And very frightening to me personally, I'll tell you right now, very frightening. But there are a group of people out there, and I happen to think that Trump knows exactly what he's doing in sending his message. And his message is, okay, all you people who are white, let's remember that we are together in this thing, and our police protect us and our rights and everything else, and it's being very successful.
Well, I have a bet. I took a bet with a friend that he would not lose by the landslide margins of Goldwater. That was like a 40%.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll happen. I do think it will be close and hotly contested. But I also don't put a whole lot of stock in polls that come out 4 months before the election, before either of the conventions, before either of the VP picks, before we've seen people like Bernie Sanders go out and actually campaign for Hillary Clinton.
True.
Everything is going to change. So.
No, it's all true. You're right about that, Rosemary. However, as you have said so many times, as we've all said, it's only a snapshot. Each of these polls is only a snapshot in time. The reason that they're important is that And I think they're important to the candidates, too, because they see whether what they're doing is being effective or not. And so these snapshots are extremely important.
They are, but also as long-term political strategy. And in this country, coming is major demographic change that the Republican Party in general and certainly Donald Trump are not paying attention to. You will not, I don't think you can win him now, but certainly in the next election you will not win based on appealing only to white people.
But in this country, we run them election by election. And you win an election, Donald Trump has already announced who his Supreme Court judges may be. And that's very important because they are extremely conservative judges. Now, what?
Does that surprise you that he announced
it? No, but I'm simply telling you, if you're the Republican Party, this gets back to my original theme. If you're the Republican Party, look what some of the benefits could be. Now, in answering you, Rosemary, I truly believe this is now going to be an election that they want to win, that they should win so that the Democrats are out of office and they can make the selections, they can make the judges, they can get their policies. Look at some of the policies that the Republican...
I know.
We don't have time for this, right, Joe?
No, we do. It's a view of the... A traditionalist view of family and child rearing, barring women... military women from combat, describing coal as a clean energy source. This is all platform ideas.
Take your time with each of these because they're so astounding.
Declaring pornography a public health crisis. And the list goes on.
Natural marriage between a man and a woman. Declaring porn, as you said, a public health crisis. Get rid of women in combat. No limit on which bathrooms transgender people can use.
How about building the wall? That becomes part of a national platform.
Right, a physical wall between the U.S. and Mexico. It's unbelievable.
But you know, a lot of this stuff isn't new. It's come out before.
And yeah, but it's in the platform, Stewie.
It's in the platform, but it's why people have voted for him in 50 primaries. This stuff is not really that new. It's delineated very clearly now, but the concepts aren't that new.
I think it is new that the whole party now is backing this as their platform.
Yes.
That's tremendously new and even more frightening than just one man getting votes for espousing those kinds of things.
And this could mean the convention becomes a very smooth sailing week down in beautiful downtown Cleveland, Ohio, there where everyone sings Kumbaya and they send Trump out into the general election. But
the police
are
not planning for that.
Well, the police are definitely on alert.
High
there.
Alert, yeah.
Nor do I think that particular party is going to be singing Kumbaya, a song I've always liked.
Probably not. Yes. Poor choice on my part.
Good point, Alan. All right, we have a couple letters. Let's go to those, and then we'll go to a break here in a moment.
William says, August 2000, John McCain was ahead of Obama in the polls by 17 points. Good point.
Yeah, it goes back to what we said, that the polls right now are probably more volatile than at any period. They've sort of been silly up to now because they're so far out. But you have all these events which will affect the polls, starting with
months.
The conventions, the VP announcements.
But we have to say, and this is to Alan's point, who has been beating this drum for months, which is... There is not, I don't think there is a person who thought that in this potential matchup you would have it be this close. And
of
yet
course.
He got the nomination, and it continues to be close.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't seem that hard for me to believe that even in 8 weeks
I
that
agree.
We're not going to be saying that this is the same thing.
I have not said, you know, Hillary's going to trump him. Jess going to trump him.
Yeah, I know. We have to take that word out.
It can't
and
be a verb anymore.
People have got to play bridge in order to understand it.
He's got a very real chance to win this, a very real chance. And I think that is the real interest here is what is this saying about the country? And Hillary, she's had her issues. And there's certainly people who detest Hillary. And I can see their viewpoint if that's where they want to come from. It's going to be one heck of a race. But I'll tell you this. We got 4 months to go yet.
Well, that's true. Kenny writes to us, ironically, I don't think Trump is for all the things, not platform. That's what he says. Okay, I'm just reading his words. Thank you, Alan. Now, this comes from our regular correspondent, Ramon, who said, he has his tongue in his cheek, so I'll read it that way. Thank you, Alan, for all your lack of hubris. That the world needs more of it, and it keeps you from being blinded by some problems of self-righteousness. Certainly, it makes you see clearer both the realities and the dangers.
In other words, sounds drunk when he reads like that.
Yes. No, I read it because
it would explain the jacket.
Tongue in cheek, because he did not mean what he was saying.
Okay.
My father used to say, says MJ,
yeah, be careful.
PhD, You look like a smacked, can we say that? Can we say the word?
Sure.
It's smacked ass. I don't know what that means. By the way.
And splotchy.
By the way, did anyone else notice the creamy intimacy of Mr. Obama and W at a prayer vigil on Tuesday? Matt from UC. Rick says,
I don't think it was creepy. I thought it could be described as awkward. I wouldn't say it was creepy.
Awkward is a good word.
Yeah. We got a lot of mail on George, you know, dancing around.
Well, and he was attached by and holding Michelle Obama's hand, and she just looked like, I want to pray, and you know,
she looked a little astounded.
Yes,
Rick, we've had several letters on my reference to Sid on the Milton Berle show.
Sid and the
Alan. So Sid said, as he rolled up his sleeves, tell you what I'm gonna do.
That's right.
Trump's running mate is important because if, God forbid, he's elected, his choice and take over when he's impeached or leaves because he can't handle the job and stress. And that's from Rick. And we saw something in the Daily News, I think it was the Daily News this morning, one of the tabs, in which they quoted the son-in-law, Jared Kushner, as saying it would not be Chris Christie. Because he didn't say because, he's just, I can assure you it's not going to be Chris Christie. And then the columnist or whoever is writing this said, and that's because Chris Christie prosecuted Jared Kushner's father and I believe put him in jail.
Yeah, Christie was the U.S. attorney
in
New Jersey before being governor. That's interesting.
Don't you think?
So with that, tomorrow Mr. Trump is announcing his VP. Who do you guys think it will be?
Pence.
Yeah, I do
I think it's Pence too.
I think it's Gingrich.
It's who?
Gingrich.
Yeah. He's already making statements, kind of backing away, saying, you know, I'm not really sitting by the phone. You know, there's really good people. I love this guy Pence.
Could be a great diversionary tactic.
You remember the song in camp? I've got sixpence, jolly, jolly sixpence. I've got sixpence to send home to my wife.
Okay. Oh, my God. You are really out of control.
Welcome
today,
to the 50s.
So if it is Pence, we're going to hear that song a lot.
I know. It's gonna be, I also hate that we're doing this. This is Trump's game. Oh, who's it going to be? Let's guess. We're talking about him again. He's such a master at it, though.
I agree with you, but I think on this particular issue, we would speculate on any candidate.
Anyway. And we'll do it for Hillary.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll do it for Hillary. And we did it 4 years ago. We'll do it 8 years ago. You know, and 4 years from now, we'll be speculating as to who they'll pick for.
And that's the bigger question. Who will be Hillary's running mate?
Okay. And Tony, our great friend Tony, who's been so helpful to WAMC, says, thank you for all the levity today. After several days of horrible news, your humor is welcome and appreciated. Tony, not by everybody.
Get a load of the suit jacket, Tony. You want levity? We got levity.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll hold it there, and we'll be back in just a few moments with more levity and news as well. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us on this Thursday morning. We have a lot to talk about, and we will get to some more issues in just a moment. We want to go through some of the letters, and then we'll migrate to some other issues.
Okay. Thanks, Alan. Good morning, Roundtables. I'm traveling out west where I try to remember to tune into Roundtable at 6 a.m. so I don't miss it. It's usually a slow process of waking up to full listening capacity, but today Alan's jacket and necktie woke me up like a bolt of lightning. Thanks, Alan. You're a human alarm clock, and that's best from Annie Oakley. That's what it says. Okay, but we know.
It sounds like you're on TV.
Yeah. Well, we are.
Yeah, people can watch it.
Not in a car.
No.
Well, it's been known to happen.
Screech.
Paul says this jacket may be date from the mattress craze of 1963, four months prior to the Carnaby Street moment. This is a major fashion movement before mod. In junior high school, we were forced by peer pressure to wear many garments made of plaid from Madras, India. No one should have paid money for it after 1967. I agree with you, and I didn't. And then we've heard from Timothy, who says, and is way too long a letter. How many characters? 140 characters.
140, yes.
Okay. You're a freaking public radio station, and you're so intellectually lazy and morally corrupt that you will not invite articulate people with opposing points of view onto your programs. Certainly not yesterday.
I would say yesterday is Roundtable. Today is Thursday. Go on to WAMC.org. Listen to the Roundtable from Wednesday when Mr. Honan, who I have never personally met, but I do enjoy listening to him when he's on. There were some contrarian opinions on that show.
Yeah, I would say so. Okay. As it were on today's show.
Alan, you are wrong. I meant it as a positive thing. You're saying, oh, I see. I get this. Ramon. Remember when I...
Yeah, the tongue in the cheek.
It was all so nice that I think nobody could possibly be being that nice to me. So he says, you're saying not to trust the polls, and that is dangerous to assume he cannot be elected. You really did wrong. I mean, you exhibit a lack of hubris. That is an excellent trait. Let's see here. And then we heard from Aisha from Cairo. Hi, panel. I'm glad you are discussing the platform. I didn't hear you say one item that almost made my head pop off. The Bible should be taught in public schools as a historical document. Horrifying.
He's talking about the platform.
Yeah, the Republican platform.
Republicans would make that.
It is extraordinary. It is extraordinary. And Dan says, Trump, Gingrich. Might as well hate both.
That's pretty good.
All right.
Okay, Steve says, going down once and for all, Trump's shocking surge continues, ties Hillary's latest New York Times poll because Clinton is a proven liar. Perhaps more worrying for the Clinton campaign is the rise in negativity, with 67% of voters saying she's not honest and trustworthy. Did you want to say something?
No.
No, okay. Brian, Newt will never take the vice presidential slot. He's enjoying the limelight right now. He likes being out there, but it will never be anyone's number two. Too much ego. You know what? I think that's wrong. I think if he was offered it, he'd take it a second.
I think he'd jump at it.
Yeah. We heard from James. Even the rents too high guy would be leading Trump. Why is Hillary so disliked? My two daughters, liberals in their 20s, big Obama and Bernie supporters don't like her. They say she's a phony, but will grudgingly vote for her in November. They say for me, it's partly her Iraq war vote and her belatedly unapologetic apology, like her email apology. It sounds like I made a mistake, get over it. But she is sane, competent, and we have to hold our nose and vote for her. A Trump presidency is the greatest threat America faces.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could find out who actually voted for someone they support versus people who voted for people because they're not the other person?
Well, no,
that'd
be
a great metric to get.
You know, Stewie, I think that people loved Obama. I do. I think the first term they may have voted because, again, he wasn't Hillary. And also because he was a blank slate. They could project into him anything that they wanted to do. Hillary is anything but that right now. Tom says, because remember I said that the light has to be put on above you, and Tom says, Stu just needs some powder. Makeup!
Lots of
remember
powder.
Remember that? The guys who'd run onto the stage.
Hair,
who was that? Arnold Stang? Makeup? Makeup! And they hit you with a powder puff. You guys are all so young, you know, remember that? But that's okay.
That's our third 1950s reference today, folks. Tune in for
record.
5 or 10 more.
Howard, my friend Howard, chairman of the Siegel Group, says, okay, he says his name was Sid Stone. We knew that already. Sid, who Ray put up as, you know, just a little something for us. And I'm looking at the Men's Warehouse special of the day, stuff like that, but I don't see any.
Oh, yeah, don't get a new
please
jacket.
Please do. Please do look at it.
Maybe there's a coupon.
Can we drive you over?
Our interventions, too.
Okay. Now, don't send us links. Do not send us links. We don't read links. We're not going to go there, so don't do it. It's a rule. Okay. Hi, panel. I just wanted to put in a word for what needs to happen next. We, the voters, need to be extra vigilant and aware and not drop the ball in preparing our way to a chosen candidate. In the beginning of presidential campaigning, I was hoping that Hillary would win and have powerful support during her presidency. Now it would appear that either candidate winning will be strongly opposed during their time of office. I'm afraid it would be like having a lame duck from the first day of swearing in. Your thoughts, please.
Yes, I think that's a high probability.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, roundtable panel. I am very concerned about, quote, Trump winning. I pray he does not. As I watched the memorial service in Dallas the other day, I found myself fearfully wondering how Donald Trump would represent the country and the presidency in such a circumstance of prayer, memorial, and remembrance in time of needing, to be honest, yet calm and unifying as President Obama was. I do not think Mr. Trump is capable. I do not think Mr. Trump is a man of faith in God, since his actions and words indicate otherwise, in my opinion. Note number one. I love Alan's jacket. Note number two. I was also wondering about, embarrassed by G.W. Bush's dancing during the singing of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Okay, and that, I think, that's it.
All right, let's move on to some other topics. We have a break in a few moments, but we'll get started here on some other things. First of all, we did talk about the poll out from the New York Times regarding the race. The New York Times also put out a poll regarding race relations in this country. They're at the lowest point in the Obama presidency, according to this particular poll. 69% of Americans say race relations are generally bad, one of the highest levels of discord since the 1992 riots in Los Angeles during the Rodney King case, that according to the poll from the New York Times. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton did speak out on race yesterday, went to Springfield, Illinois, and on the grounds of the old state capitol, where Abraham Lincoln held forth on a house divided, and Hillary Clinton lamented the party of Lincoln's transition to the party of Trump, casting the present moment as an indelible stain on Republican history. Yet even as she savaged Donald Trump as a existential threat to American democracy a week before the Republicans planned to nominate him for president in Cleveland, Mrs. Clinton set off a delicate balancing act of her own. She waded with care into the thickets of national reckonings over police violence and violence against the police, hoping to position herself as an unlikely agent of harmony.
You know, on that New York Times CBS poll, I have to respectfully throw it out the window and ignore it forever. Here's why. CBS and the New York Times did this poll on race relations a couple of days after Dallas, a couple of days after Louisiana, a couple of days after Minnesota, these tragic shootings there. Of course this is what they're going to get. It's just, to me, a you're going in there with awful timing. I can't buy the results of this poll when you ask
totally
these questions
agree.
In the mushroom cloud of these events taking over the country.
Well, isn't there something to be said about even the poll that we're seeing, the presidential poll, of taking it the day and the day after the FBI report?
Of course.
It's what you said. You're absolutely right, Stu. Yeah. This is a snapshot, and the snapshot was taken at exactly perfect time to get these results. Yeah. I don't think it means all that much. That said, relations between
race
the
relations
races
suck.
Are a mess.
Yeah,
they are horrible.
And I applaud that Hillary Clinton is, whether you liked her statement or not, at least she's addressing it, unlike another candidate.
But if you're going to measure it at a more balanced time.
I agree with you, Stu.
Yeah,
I think that's right. I think race relations in this country have not been good for a long time.
We know it's an issue.
Yeah.
You know, this poll is not giving us anything new.
You know, this is nonsense.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will move on to some other topics as well. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be right back.
Support comes from Center for Natural Wellness School of Massage Therapy, announcing Express Admissions Day today, scheduling appointments now. Your future is in your hands. CNWSMT.com for more information. Restore Dutchess, announcing the newly opened Habitat for Humanity Restore in Dutchess Plaza on Route 44 in Poughkeepsie. New and gently used furniture, appliances, and more. HabitatDuchess.org. Hotchkiss Summer Portals Piano Concert Series, presenting the Eminent String Quartet with the Witkowski Duet, Priya Mayadas, and Young Artist Concerts through July 23rd. Hotchkiss.org/summer. And Hummingbird Jewelers Rhinebeck, custom design specialist since 1978, featuring on-premises repair, restoration, and repurposing of family heirlooms. HummingbirdJewelers.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. Let's move on to another topic or two as we work through stories this morning. I realized that we have not at all yet talked about the Roger Ailes Gretchen Carlson case.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
We have not done that. I think in part because we had so many other serious topics to discuss, and part because when the story broke, Rosemary was away, and it just seemed like a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, and this morning, Rosemary has been unusually quiet for Rosemary, so and she's been staying back. Now, staying is a word I'm using because I don't want to use synonyms in this case. So go ahead. Well, you look puzzled.
Synonyms. I'm trying to think of what horrible thing you don't want to say that's so unlike you. Anyway, Roger Ailes. Turns out he's looking more and more like another Bill Cosby. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. He's playing really smart, though. He's now trying to get the whole deal thrown into
arbitration,
which would keep everything secret. I don't think he's going to win because she's got smart lawyers, too. My women journalism groups have had quite a discussion about this, looking at her responsibility. Here's the question. If her contract had been renewed, do you think she would be bringing this up? The truth is, she should have brought it up when it first happened. And women, as a feminist, I'm speaking to other women out there, we have got to take over this rape thing. We have to call it when it happens. We have to stand up, stop this thing about, oh, it's shameful to admit
that. Yeah,
but
he didn't get accused of rape.
And she didn't do that.
But he didn't get accused of rape.
Okay, sexual harassment, I'm putting them all in together. We don't talk about sexual attacks because we think we're going to be shamed.
Okay,
she thinks she's going to lose her career. And other women support her because they understand the fear and the danger, the threat of what she has to deal with. But she is a leader. I want it better of her. I want better of women who are in this position.
We'll
come out and say to Roger Ailes, my contract was renewed. Here's how I got it. Here's what I had to overcome.
But we don't know. We don't know. We can certainly speculate, but we don't know. So she has made the allegations now.
So have several other women. That's why I say it's like a Bill Cosby situation is developing.
So the idea and what brings this into the news cycle, as Rosemary mentioned, is that Roger Ailes wants to move the case to arbitration.
Experts take it out of
lawyers.
The courts, which are public.
Okay, just time out for 1 second. It's not only the arbitration thing, which is written into her contract, but it is you may not talk about it, which is very unusual, apparently.
It's a secretive process.
Yes. Everything would be gagged. The problem is she's not suing Fox. She is suing Ailes, and she's not suing him over any conduct related to her contract. It's over his boorish sexual behavior. So she has as strong an argument as he does about whether it should go into arbitration. It's interesting.
It's going to come down to a lot of high-priced lawyers who know contract law inside and out.
She's already hurt.
I agree with you.
She's already done the damage to him. Yeah. That's the whole thing.
And what about her career?
I don't know about that.
Well,
I find it
interesting
that she isn't. She's decided, okay, now is the time I'm going to take the risk. As I say, why didn't she do it when it first happened? Which is what I really would like my fellow women to start calling it.
Did she ever document this with maybe a human resources person? Or, I mean, I haven't heard anything
have
to
no
that
idea.
Effect. That this totally came out of nowhere.
I have no
idea. Is there any documents on file with Fox or Ailes' office?
Where, I would doubt that.
Came forward?
But then
I would
it takes that one person.
Right.
But then you see more cases.
And now how many other women have come forward saying, yeah, he did that to me too. So no, there's no human rights. If you go to human rights, it's like going to Ailes and calling them in public.
Human resources. Yeah. Human resources.
But it does also, I think Joe's question was really very good. What about her career now? You know, there are people who think, they don't want to do this kind of thing because once they do it, they're going to get called on it. And then when they go in for the next interview, nobody's going to hire them because they're, quote, trouble.
I think her thinking was, my career is nowhere right now. I might as well take the risk.
Or in 2 years, no one will remember. And if she wants a job, I mean, folks with much more difficult situations have bounced back into prominent positions.
Yeah, yeah.
Brian Williams came back.
Yeah, I mean, and his conduct was directly related to
his journalism.
All she did was call foul on a man who should not have been talking to her as he was. So yeah, it's interesting that we've turned her into the person who did wrong. Her career will be affected. It's sad.
I think in time she'll be back.
Let's go to some letters.
Oh, okay. Alan, you are our Arnold Stang this morning. Now, for those of you who don't remember Arnold Stang, he was a little guy. He was on shows. Like, well, I'm just reading it, Rosemary. Don't give me the look.
We have like, I feel like we're in the time machine and we've moved back a several decades.
Well, I'm so sorry that I'm so much older than you are, and I consider this age discrimination, and I'm going to make a comment about it. I'm going to go to the human resources people and tell them. Alan, you are Arnold Stein.
Guilty. I'm guilty.
Most of all discussions of Trump sink to the level of his political circus. I fear it may be so. And George from Kingston. I have to tell you, I've told you before, one of the proudest moments is they auctioned me off for some good thing. You know, dinner at the Sharchak's house. Woman shows up, and with her is Arnold Stein.
The Arnold
you
Stang.
You guys are all
Who
looking at me like Arnold Stang was a very Joe. You're not. You don't even remember Arnold Stang, right?
I don't think so.
No. Well, Arnold Stang was called Francis, I believe, on the Milton Berle show and other shows, and he was a little guy who talked like that. And I think was he the one who was the star of something called The Adventures of Hiram Holiday. The Adventures of Hiram Holiday.
Missed
a little
that one.
Guy. He had an umbrella, and he would fence with the bad guys with his umbrella. It was quite a show.
I know The Adventures of Superman, but that's as far as it goes.
Ah, the old days.
Okay, and
buy war bonds, people. Buy war bonds.
And the telephone number who writes every once in a while said, "Why is Hillary not pursuing Bernie as a running mate? And why is there no speculation about them teaming up to take the cake?" That's not going to happen, folks, because when you run for president, you got to get the middle. And you don't go to your left, even though you honor it and you talk about it and you appear with him. That's not going to be your vice presidential.
Plus, they don't like each other.
Yeah.
Have you noticed?
Yeah, that was an awkward.
Yeah,
event.
They're not. They're not.
they're not.
He didn't even do great on the endorsement. I can't imagine him running as the number two to her. Please.
I'm just trying to read on the go. Roundtable question. Now that we're talking about sexual harassment, rape, et cetera, do you think it's fair for colleges and universities to expel students accused of harassment before the legal process in a court appears has happened? Seems like they're taking justice in their own hands without due process.
I agree with that. This is a big controversial issue. It's being written about in books and in reports, and I think we have to protect everybody's right to due process. As soon as there's an allegation, go to the police, not the university officials.
Joel says, here's another opportunity to do your tongue-in-cheek voice. Rosemary's Female Journalism Group sounds like a fabulous, unbiased review of journalism. Not tongue-in-cheek, I still love you, Rosemary.
It's the Journalism and Women's Symposium, JAWS, and their logo is a big, giant shark with lipstick. So, no, there's no effort at all to be unbiased. That's why I bring it up here.
Okay.
The discussion is over what was the correct behavior for a woman journalist confronted with a sexual issue. Did she protect the rest of us or stand up for the rest of us?
We have just a few more moments, and I do want to bring just one item up that I should have gotten to before, and I forgot. But that was the so I want to get back to it. Donald Trump. So you're the judge who he has gone after,
right?
And has
because he has a Mexican background.
Because he has.
Does he need to recuse himself?
Right. So now he is making the decision as to whether the videotape of Trump's testimony should be released, as has been requested.
What video?
By the press. The the testimony that he made, which I think we have part of the transcript, right?
You mean about the judge?
About the university.
The
specific comments that he made when they brought him in, that testimony. So the judge is now ruling as to whether that videotape
could be admitted.
Can be released,
yes.
and to,
put on the air.
To the press.
Used in Hillary commercials against
so, him. That seems like a no-win situation for the judge, right?
The problem. The judge didn't do anything that makes him have to recuse himself. It was Donald Trump who tried to set him up that way. Our recusal laws are not set up to handle this. There's no reason he should recuse himself. So I'm glad he's making the decision.
You got a lot of Arnold Stein letters. We're not going to a lot of Arnold Stein letters. But there was my favorite was, Alan, please tell everyone the story about Abe Lincoln coming to your house for Thanksgiving.
Buy Civil War bonds.
All right. Since I couldn't get you interested in the Trump story, let's go to the Arnold Stang letters.
Okay, Arnold Stang letters.
Oh, God, you gave in.
Joseph
just
says.
Just like the Republicans. You gave in to Trump.
Oh, really?
You gave
really?
In to Trump, even though you know it's wrong.
Joseph writes, what a chunk of chocolate. Arnold was most famous for the chunky commercials, least here.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Hold your letters. Okay, Arnold Stang. He was also Top Cat, right? I don't know.
The voice of Top Cat?
The voice of Top Cat.
Oh, come on. You
watch
know
that. Know. That was, that's a reference I actually know. 1970s Saturday morning cartoon.
Is it just me, or does Clinton's campaign seem to be another season in House of Cards?
It's
and
just
that's
you.
From Anthony. Okay.
No, actually, there's quite, it's taken it's... from Hillary quite a bit, I think.
Okay. Panel. Virtually every day I have casual, polite interactions with black Albanians in the supermarkets on the street and while driving around town. I think polls measure people's feelings about general trends, while their real life interactions may be very different and much better. And that's Bob from Albany. And
so you didn't mean Albanians, like from Eastern Europe.
And Deanne says, Alan, I feel that your comments generally hurt rather than help Hillary's campaign. You are expressing your opinion, but I think she hardly ever gets any positive comments from you. Thank you. Well, one positive comment I have made about her is I'm voting for her.
Voting for her, yeah. You've said
and
that
I've said so several times.
You are under no obligation to make positive comments about her.
Well, I just think that's the way it is. Okay.
All right. Well, we are out of time. But I thank you very much for writing in. And we will have this group will join. Are you coming back, Rosemary?
I am coming
Okay,
back.
Good.
We
excellent.
Never know with you. And you had an adventure we want you to tell us about at some point.
All right. Okay. And Stu, you we'll see you soon.
I'll be here if Arnold Stang can't make it.
He really can't make
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he really can't make it.
Well, then
yes.
I hope to be back.
Yeah, and try to beat that coat next time.
I, right? I, there's no hope.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.